Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Today I received a reply on a message concerning enduring to the end, and it captures what we see across the board in the evangelical church world. This lady writes, she says, if Jesus only died for the past sins of his people, that means that he has to die again for the present and future sins, right? Question mark. She continues, this is not what the word says. He will not die again because his death fulfill the law for the believer. Therefore, there are no more sins to be forgiven for the believer, but we must still confess sins present and future, unquote. She has some things right there, but she also has some things wrong. Here was my reply to her as we get into this important message, Saints. It's so important that we understand through the full, comprehensive, the whole Word of God. So many people have been pigeonholed into one little focus, and the other parts of the gospel of Jesus and his apostles, which are given to us in the 27-book New Testament canon, are absolutely ignored, including this truth that we're going to talk about right now. So what I answered her is this: he died for all sins, yes, past, present, and future, yet the appropriation of his cleansing from sin is contingent upon continuing to walk in the light with him, according to 1 John 1:7, which says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So present and future sins are not automatically forgiven. We must walk in the light as he is in the light to continue to have fellowship with him, because in him is no darkness at all, the scripture says. And he requires that we walk in the light. Now, what does that mean? That means walking honestly, circumspectly, and sincerely before the Lord. That doesn't mean you're sinless perfection, but you're accountable, as this very text says in 1 John 1, to confess your sins. And when you do, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness presently. So, and if you say that you have no sin, or that you have not sinned, the text says, 1 John 1, then you're a liar, and you make God out to be a liar. You know, you can't sin after you get saved or it's all over. That's not it at all. Let's qualify things, though. It's also not you have a license to sin since you've been saved, and that all your past, present, and future sins are automatically forgiven. That's absolute heresy. God requires that you take account for any sin you commit. Notice, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, what I'm quoting from is 1 John chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, which I want to encourage you to become intimately familiar with. So perhaps each morning this week, as part of your study of God's Word, that you'll read this passage prayerfully and let God unfold it to you, because this is all in there. Sins are not automatically forgiven just because you've been saved. God holds you accountable to endure to the end. That's not works, that's faith. And faith, saving faith, will always produce good works, which will include the desire to be holy as he is holy, to be without spot or blemish or any such thing, according to Ephesians 5:25-27, which is the church Jesus is coming back for. The once saved, always saved, I'm cool, one and done, I've been saved and told all my life that I'm automatically going to heaven no matter what. That right there is not the remnant body of Christ that's ready to be taken by the Lord. They will not be with him. The scripture says, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long in the book of Proverbs. It also tells us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that would be 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. That doesn't sound like the modern, I'm saved and no matter what I do, I'm still going to heaven group. And it's completely inconsistent. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Why? Because your affections are set on things above, not on the things of the earth. Verse 5, Colossians 3, you're mortifying the members, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, any kind of uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, or that means secret desire for that which is forbidden, a covetousness, which is idolatry. And what does that come out of? Self-worship instead of Savior worship. Then he continues, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. This is talking to those, not the lost. This is talking about those. This book is written to the believer. And the cross is right in the center of this. Verse 3 of Colossians 3. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The only way to walk with Christ is by the cleansing of the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20, and also the practical daily crucifixion of self so that Christ is reigning. Don't even begin to think that you can divorce what Jesus taught from Jesus himself. Walk away, you know, wipe your mouth like you have no more further responsibility. You don't have to walk with Jesus according to his prescription, and you're still going to heaven. That is delusional. And hell is full of people like that. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Why? Because those that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven have a relationship with him. Our obedience to him is out of our love for him. You don't love him if you're not obeying him. You're not saved by your obedience or any fruit produced from that relationship. And at the same time, there can't be a relationship with the Almighty and not be the production of good fruit. Abide, Jesus said, in me. That means to remain, to continue with and in me. And if you don't, you're going to be cast into the fire. John chapter 15, verse 6. Some people listening to this, it's the first time they've ever heard such teaching as the Bible clearly teaches throughout, a conditional, not an unconditional, eternal salvation. In fact, the only time the words eternal salvation appear in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 9. And notice this. Notice what they always leave out, those that are selling you the same bill of goods that Satan sold to the man and woman in the garden, that there would be no consequences for sinning against God. Notice Hebrews 5, 9, and being made perfect, that's Christ, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Notice the condition, unto all them that obey him. Then they'll take and they'll hyper-focus on the term eternal salvation. It's a fact that salvation is eternal, but it's also a fact that the possession of eternal life is not eternal necessarily. If you do not remain meeting the conditions the Lord has laid out and enduring to the end, then you will not be with him forever. That's like saying that you and I keep people in our lives who were once very kind and people of integrity and faithful friends, and yet they turn and they change. We've all seen this. They're no longer the same person that they used to be. And so do we keep them in our lives? No. And you're going to tell me the Almighty is now forced to bring somebody into glory with him in his eternal, holy, holy, holy home who is living contrary to him? No, not going to happen. The foolishness of this fake, false, once saved, always saved, eternal security heresy is not only not scriptural, it's absolutely laughable and it defies logic. God is not going to gather people into his presence for eternity as a family who don't agree with him, who aren't in agreement with him. So verse 8, Colossians 3, verse 7, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. You lived in sin in the past when you walked in sin, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Out of your mouth lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And it goes on. All right, so there's a changed life that happens when Jesus saves us and we're born of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new, and all things are now of God. And let me just tell you, we're going to go through some rigors in this last hour, and unfortunately, some are not going to make it. Everything that can be shaken, he said, is going to be shaken, that only that which is rooted in him, if you will remain. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 through 28. It says, And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See, Abel's sacrifice, which was given to him as a pattern by God, was the shedding of the blood of an animal, which merely depicted Christ's perfect sacrifice, which was to come and now has come. Verse 25, Hebrews 12, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. See, only that, beloved, that is rooted and grounded in Christ on the foundation of obedience to what he said, Matthew 7, 20 through 29, Luke 6, 46 through 49, you got to dig deep and lay the foundation deep on the only foundation that is not going to be shaken, and then that's rooted and grounded in Christ, in an abiding, obedient, worship-filled, faith-filled relationship with Christ, enduring to the end. The scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a condition. Listen, God's blessings are conditional, not unconditional. And anybody who's teaching you otherwise, whether blatantly or with inference and ignoring the conditions of Scripture, is a false teacher. And that's what everyone who is teaching eternal security is. They are a false teacher. They are peddling and regurgitating the same and first lie of Satan that led to the fall of the first man and woman when he told them, you shall not surely die. This is what we call the lie of the ages, or lie of the ages. That's a book we have available on Amazon and also safeguardyoursoul.com. And it's a 730-page blockbuster that is full of so much rich holy scripture, much of which perhaps you've never even read. That's the substance of that book, by the way, and nothing else. So this is the lie that emanates from the Garden of Eden that caused the fall of mankind, when Satan told them that they would not have to suffer the consequences, basically inferring that God was just trying to prevent them from having fun, when he said, you shall not surely die. But God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was warning them because he loved them and wanted to protect them. He said, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4 compared is a revelation for life and living, and will change your life. That is the first place that this eternal security promise that God never gave was taught. You are accountable to continue to walk with God. He found you, he saved you, he paid the full price for your sins, and he rightly and justly requires that you to endure to the end, doing things his way and no other. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In other words, it continues to cleanse us. It's one thing to be washed initially, it's another thing to continue to be washed, lest you have a spotted garment and you're not ready for the return of Christ. And if you're not ready for the return of Christ, you're not going to be with him. Just like the five foolish virgins were shut out of his eternal kingdom for not abiding in him, and therefore having their lamps, their vessels full of the oil of his spirit, Matthew 25:1-13. So finishing up in Hebrews 12, and the word yet once more signifieth, this word once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. See, God's only going to save those who are truly rooted in Him, not those who have no root in themselves, as Jesus put it, and therefore they wither in times of temptation, trial, persecutions, afflictions, etc. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. There's an acceptable way to serve God, and there's a way not to unacceptably attempt to serve God. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Wherefore, verse 28, Hebrews 12, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Notice the warning. God is a consuming fire. And we drop back to chapter 10, Hebrews, a book many do not want to face. Many who now say that, oh, this is for the Jews. There's only one body in Christ, and it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. That's New Testament 101. This is written to every believer. Don't let anybody fool you. That would be like saying Jesus is not the apostle and high priest of your faith, and you're not part of the holy brethren. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. If you're one of the holy brethren, this book applies directly to you, and you are absolutely responsible for its contents. Beware of the dispensational devils who teach otherwise. Look up dispensation on the drop-down menu on safeguardyoursoul.com to find out about dispensational theology, which is absolutely heretical. Verse 26, Hebrews 10. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy, after two or three witnesses, of how much sorer or worse, more severe punishment, suppose ye that shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, the judgment of God coming on those who were His children at one point or some point and for some period in their lives who turn against God afterward, they are trodden underfoot the Son of God, and they are counting the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified in the past an unholy thing, and they have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Their vengeance, the severe punishment of God upon them, is going to be greater than those who despise Moses' law. And we know from the Old Testament that some of them, in fact, in one day, I believe it's Numbers 16, 2,500 of them were dropped down, swallowed up into the earth, and went straight into hell. And they're there today. These are rebels. And he's specifically referring to this, as he does, Paul does, throughout the New Testament, such as 1 Corinthians 10, etc., that these sins that God's own people committed caused them to forfeit entering the promised land. And the promised land is eternal glory, and many of them were destroyed. Listen, let me stop and say this. If your theology, the body of truth that's presently in you, does not understand and have as a foundational cornerstone, a cornerstone in your foundation, that God is holy, holy, holy. He commands you to be holy as He is holy, and that without holiness no man shall see the Lord, then you are lacking greatly, and you're destined for falling. You have a faulty foundation. I just quoted to you three scriptures and biblical truths paramount to Christology, that God is holy. He requires that you be holy. That means set apart unto Him, and that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, and Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Also, remember, the wages of sin, because God is holy, 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 is still death, which means separation. The soul that sinneth, it shall die or be separated. The only way to be re-reconciled, to be restored when you're separated because of your sin, is to confess that sin before the Lord. Agree with Him that it was a sin. Cry out to Him for mercy, forgiveness, and grace to help in time of need, so that you don't ever go back there again. This is all scripture, friend. If you want to lie against the Lord, you can. But I'm going to say with the Apostle Paul, let God be true and every man a liar, beginning with myself, this fool right here. Hebrews 10:30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, that is your saving faith, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, you're going to cash it in for the ultimate reward of being with Christ forever. And some people get real nervous when they are put under personal responsibility, but the Bible puts you under personal responsibility. God requires that you prove you love Him by the way you seek His face and the way you live. In fact, in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Notice Jesus is talking to his own people, the church. He that overcometh, wait a minute, what? Yes, you got to overcome. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now notice the converse here that we can easily, clearly deduce in what Jesus is saying. So if you overcome, he's not going to blot your name out of the book of life. That means if you don't overcome, you will be blotted out of the book of life. Notice chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, not just for a short period, but unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The promises of God are only to those who remain in Christ after being saved. They take the personal responsibility to walk with God and remain in Christ, keeping their garments that he purified initially spotless, because Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or blemish or any such thing, but one that is holy before God. That's the end of Ephesians chapter 5. This is the church Jesus is coming back for. If you don't like it, too bad, you won't be with him. Christ gave himself for the church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might let her live the way she wishes. No, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. How does that happen? That happens by you abiding in Christ according to his word. And when you do, you're washed continually. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And here's the reason, that he might present it to himself. How is Jesus' church going to be presented to him? What church? What remnant body of believers is going to be presented to him? Here it is. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. People living in sin are not glorious. They're rebellious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Notice, without blemish. Continuing as we close here in Hebrews chapter 10, for ye have need, it's necessity. See, Jesus said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Luke 21:19, I believe it is. For you have need of patience, here he says, endurance, perseverance, that is, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. To the saving, you got to believe all the way to the end of your life, unto the saving of your soul. It really doesn't matter what your stupid opinion is, that you don't want to have to give up your life in this world, and therefore you don't want to hear anything concerning personal responsibility. It's still the truth. Throw your soul into hell by deciding that you're not going to meet the conditions. You know, save everybody else from the whining and the hiding behind this stupid, heretical fairy tale sham, this mythology that you're eternally secured no matter how you live. That's a fool's hope, and it's going to end up in the bowels of eternal damnation irrevocably. 1 John 1:3, as we close, I'm going to read the passage beginning in 1, chapter 1, 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, remember, friends, the initial question we're answering is whether or not Jesus paid for all sin, past, present, and future. Yes, he did. Check the box. But is that forgiveness of the individual automatically applied? No. It's not. And here's why. You've got to endure to the end to be saved, Jesus said. You have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we're going to see that right here. In order to continue to be cleansed by his blood. Chapter 1, verse 3, 1 John. Again, I want to encourage you to pore over this passage on a regular basis. It's going to change your life. It's going to enrich you with the knowledge of God and understanding that God wants a relationship with you, not in the past, in the present, and all the way into eternity. This isn't just about escaping hell. If that's all it is to you, then all you're doing is trying to use Jesus like a cheap prostitute to get you out of hell, because you're still your own God. You have not truly repented. When you repent, Jesus is going to be your magnificent Lord, Master, and Savior, and you're going to delight to do his will, and his commandments are not going to be grievous, but rather something glorious to you. 1 John 5:3. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, chapter 2, verse 1, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Notice that's an ongoing sacrifice. It's always available, as it must be in the divine economy, in order for you to go back to the throne of grace to obtain fresh mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:14-16. And he is, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Beloved, our obedience to him is our expression of love to him. Because we love him, we want to be one with him and fulfill his will. What would you think about a woman who claimed to love her husband but could care less to please him, and vice versa? That's a definition of the foolish virgins of Jesus's illustration in Matthew 25:1-14. The wise virgins delighted in the great bridegroom and prepared themselves to meet him, and were welcomed with great joy into the eternal bridal chamber. That represents the New Jerusalem. That represents heaven. Will you be a wise virgin or a foolish virgin, beloved? My prayer is that today you will cry out to God for him to instill his holy fear in you, and you will start afresh in repentance and will cry out to God. The scripture says in Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Joel 2:12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Notice, with all your heart, fasting, weeping, and with mourning. That's Joel 2:12. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have a book called Lie of the Ages. It's available on safeguardyoursoul.com and also Amazon, that thoroughly goes through this truth, exposing the lie of the ages, which is once saved, always saved, and eternal security, and also establishes through the preponderance and mountains of Holy Scripture the need to continue to walk with God all the way till you're with him, to delight in him and to seek his face and to walk with him. And as you do, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, is guaranteed by God to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God bless you, saints, and thank God for these moments we had together. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.